It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
There's a new sheriff in town and his name is Reggie Hammond.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soze.
The Twitter.
Thanks, old man.
Yep.
And the show is available as a podcast, also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which you can check out at...
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The man's voice you just heard is a voice of a person who knows that beating the Knicks is not nearly as good as getting a title. That's Kobe Slagle.
Yes. No, but, well, we did have some momentum.
We?
Yeah, we had some
you did.
Fire, some passion, we had momentum.
Did you have white basketball?
Yes, we did, but that has now shifted the momentum part anyway. In the favor of the New York Knicks, but we will see what happens.
When's the next night. Tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock.
Oh.
Are you gonna be giving updates during the house party?
Why, yes I will, Kobe Slagle. I will be giving scoreboard updates during the Blues house party.
And if you're listening to this Sunday, then it's old news.
Sorry about that.
And hopefully we've won.
And you will win. I'll be giving updates during tomorrow night's Blues house party at 8 o'clock on HD1, where I will be highlighting winners of the Blues Music Awards, which took place in Memphis last weekend. Kobe Slagle, what is happening on the cool down tomorrow at 7 on HD2?
Tomorrow's cool down will be the first installment of what will be known as Cool Down Essentials, wherein we will listen to an entire album of essential Brazilian music that you should have in your collection. Tomorrow night, the first installment of Cool Down Essentials will be Seiyu's self-titled debut release from 2007.
Well, all right.
This should be tune in for that.
This is going to be a lot of fun.
It is.
Okay. Well, opening. Well, nobody.
A little of this. A little
thank
of that.
You, Joe Shearer.
That's what last week's was.
A little of this, a little of that.
A little of this, a little of that.
You know what? Blues House Party and Film Sociology? Never just a little of this, a little of that. We have prime, aged, well marbled radio. That's what we have right here. Shock goodness. T-bone.
Yes.
Kobe beef and Kobe beef over there. If Mr. Slagle's eating it, it's Kobe beef. All right. Nobody wants to go up against Star Trek Into Darkness because there's nothing else opening today. So, no, that's not true. I will talk about a film that is opening at Key Art Cinemas in a little bit. But first, yes, the big one. It's so important and so big. It opened on Thursday. In fact, I believe there were Thursday midnight screenings.
Well, say they've done that before. Oh, wait.
Wednesday
midnight.
Yeah, but then when it becomes midnight, it's Thursday. If you're following. Yes.
Thursday midnight. Yeah,
but I get you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So so you have to stay up late Wednesday in order to do except you and I have jobs and lives
and
I have a family
and
you have a fiance and you're not in the Star Trek.
Mm-mm.
You did. Nope. You did not see the last Star Trek film?
I didn't see the first. I did not see the last.
The
Star
reboot.
Trek. Didn't see the reboot. Haven't seen any of the older ones. Not seen any of the TV series.
Really?
Don't really care. Not one.
Not from start to finish. They're
nope.
You know the series, all of them, 60 minutes long. Actually, 44 commercials.
No.
Not a one. Please send your hate mail to cslagle at WFYI.org. In all caps. I can't believe you've never seen Star Trek. You know what? We can't believe they've never seen Friday Foster. So there.
Or Birdemic. Or Birdemic 2. Or, which, by the way, I looked up the trailer
for Birdemic 2.
Yeah. The whole movie, I don't think the whole movie was online like the,
no.
Like its Twitter account said it was. But,
I see.
Yeah, no, I was disappointed to find that out. But it looks like they got everybody back.
Gee, you think?
The second one. Yeah. Yeah, they got everybody
even,
back.
Even Tippi Hedren?
I don't know about Tippi.
Look up Birdemic, folks. That's all we can really say about
this. She probably
this.
Had something going on that weekend and
probably had things to do. She had, you know what she had to do? A little of this, a little of that.
A little of this, a little of that.
So, wow, no Star Trek ever.
Nope.
Wow.
Star Wars, yes.
Okay. I am teaching the former kids film correspondent the difference between Wars and Trek.
So. It's a totally different.
She's 11 and into wizards and things. So
I don't like does she
What's
the confusion?
She doesn't know a lot about either one of them. Okay. I showed her Star Wars.
Okay. I thought she had seen Star Wars.
Yeah, when she was, I think, 6, 7. So, unfortunately, I'm going to have to start re-showing her films I showed her at a younger age in her first phase of daddy-daughter cinema greatness. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to reboot that, reboot a few of those for her. But no, not really all that interested. So, however, we are trying to find the Tribbles episode. People who know Star Trek know what I'm talking about. That might be a good gateway to not Jane Gateway. No, I'm kidding. But that might be a good start. I think someone told me that the old Star Trek episodes, not the, no disrespect to Patrick Stewart, but I believe they're on Hulu. So I might have to.
I don't know.
You don't know. You don't care.
No, I'm not going to seek that out.
Really? And Fair Sweet Bianca not in the Star Trek either?
I don't think so.
So it's a Trek-free household in
it
your world.
It is a Trek-free household.
Well, you know what? I'm not talking to you then. I'm talking to everybody else that's wanting to know about Star Trek Into Darkness.
Star Trek!
Thank you, Tyler. J.J. Abrams and everybody else involved with the first film, for the most part, you know, the main crew, the Enterprise, they're back. And there's a new adversary, or else there wouldn't be a second Star Trek film. Here's the audio.
You think you can't make mistakes? But the choices you make could get yourself and everyone under your command killed. But I believe in you, Jim. Darkness is coming. This could just be the beginning.
Beginning of what?
All-out war. I request permission to go after him. I cannot allow you to do this.
Jim, you're not actually going after this guy, are you?
Let's go get this son of a bitch.
You are a pawn, Kirk.
Sir, there's a ship heading right for us.
You can't even guarantee the safety of your own crew. Shall we begin?
I'm sorry.
We're outnumbered. Outgunned.
I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. I only know what I can do.
She's gone.
No, she's not.
No ship should go down without her, Captain. I believe in you, Jim.
By the way, I shamelessly forgot, shamefully forgot, I should say, not shamelessly, that I also, on today's Film Sociology, my epic chat with Jason Mewes.
I'm excited because you've been talking about this for a few weeks.
Because I got the interview like over a month ago, so nothing, not a whole lot has changed. But anyway, Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes are going to be at Clues Memorial Hall on Monday the 20th for Jay and Silent Bob's super groovy cartoon movie. So I didn't name it. But anyway, it's going to be a new animated feature as well as a rip-roaring podcast Q&A, and that is Monday. So I'll be talking with – you'll hear my chat with Jason Mewes in a little bit. Okay, so everybody's back. There's a plot point which I didn't do a whole lot of research about this because, well, I didn't know if this was supposed to be a secret or not on who – we were talking about actor Benedict Cumberbatch, which sounds like a fictitious name, great mm-hmm. name. Sounds like a character on Downton Abbey.
Yes.
But he's in this film, and he plays a character that we are returning to in the Star Trek movie world. Now, I guess I'll leave it at that for anybody who didn't know. And I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of mail going, yeah, I know who's supposed to be. You're an idiot. but he is involved, and I guess watching this, I enjoyed the first Star Trek film. I enjoyed the reboot. It was fun seeing new actors bring a little bit of new life to characters, or at least character types that we know. The guy, you know, everybody from Kirk and Bones and Scotty and hi Uhura. And I texted her. She's not coming on the show.
No,
it's okay. so now we bring in another famous character from the Star Trek world in this one, and It's a hard act to follow, and this is not a slight on Mr. Benedict, who has had a fine career, and Kobe gets bonus points for pointing him out as one of the guys in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which is an underappreciated spy drama if there ever was one. Of course, he's Sherlock Holmes on the BBC edition, and he's done films, of course, like War Horse and Atonement. By the way, Star Trek II being shown at midnight as part of the IMA movie series, midnight movie, or I'm sorry, the Landmark. Which we'll go through that list in a little bit. So one had the fun of reintroducing and reinventing some of these characters. And, of course, you have a sci-fi film with better technology, bigger budget. You're able to do more stuff. That's the case in this one. There's a lot of action. I wish I'd come up with it, but one of my colleagues said when it came to Star Trek Into Darkness, brawn won out over brains. And there's also a plot point where one of the characters you least likely expect to become an action star becomes one. And I think this will thrill younger audiences. It didn't do a whole lot as far as rocking my foundation. Not needed to be seen in 3D. You can save the money for that one. My question is now, with what they did with Into Darkness, and of course, you heard it a little bit, Bruce Greenwood is in here, and what I can tell you is that Kirk gets demoted, and he has to go, and he loses the Enterprise, and of course, plot things happen, which makes him get back.
Plot things?
That's right. You know what happens in movies? Plot things.
That's kind of like basketball plays and football moves.
On the football field. Yep. You know what? Plot things on the movie screen happen. So, I think we got a new thing right there.
Yeah,
write that down.
That's good.
Plot things happen. And plot things make things happen, as you know.
Plot things happen between story characters?
That's right. So, oh gosh. Another reason why I'm not on HD1. So, and it's the point of saying, you know he's going to get the Enterprise back. But I don't want to divulge why. Is it fun? At times.
Yeah, it's not hella bad.
It's not bad.
Otto, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
I think it's a step down from the first film, and now I'm starting to wonder, because they will make more of these. Are they just going to rehash the Star Trek movies that I grew up with? Or are they going to try to branch it out in different directions? There is some variation this time around. I'm not saying, you know, any connection between this and the second Star Trek film. It's not coincidental.
It's not terrible.
It's not terrible. It's slightly disappointing for me. Is it worth seeing? Sure, because it's May and some of you are almost out of school and there's a lot of action. So
why can't we just see them do cool stuff all the time? I'm in a movie. I have a limited amount of time. Be cool.
That's well put, Gina. Thank you. And thank you for the Big Bang Theory shirt for Emma. So there is that. Now, if you don't want to deal with the lines of Star Trek, there is a film opening today at Landmark Cinemas, Keystone cinemas, the art house. And it's called In the House. And it's the latest film from Francois Ozon, who my big introduction to him was he wrote and directed Swimming Pool, a very fun thriller with Charlotte Rampling. And it's on the list, isn't it? As you're going through, or are you going through the Midnight Movie list?
I'm looking at Midnight Movies.
Could you double check, make sure In the House is actually on there?
Sure.
The time should be on the left.
In the house, nothing yet. Nope.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Hold on here.
Yep, I'm
right there. You're listening to Film Sociology, Smith.
We're looking here.
Hasn't opened yet.
Hasn't opened yet.
Well, I'm not talking about it. I can't do that.
Don't ruin it.
I'll ruin it. No.
All right.
Can't do it.
Go back over there.
I swear it was opening this week. Hold on. Scroll down. Scroll down on this end. Scroll down on this end. Go all the way down. All the way down. All the way down. Okay. Now
that's
go back
it.
Up.
That's
wait,
it.
Wait. You're going too fast. At any price.
This is going in the year-end show.
Shut up. It's not listed. They changed the date. Scroll down again. Because I got this screener last week.
Nope. Nothing.
Oh, that's terrible.
Nope. Breaking film news. It's actually not opening this week, so you have to go see Star Trek or Gatsby again.
Again?
Or Iron Man again.
No,
I haven't seen Gatsby yet.
No,
didn't make it to it. Mm-mm.
Wow. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. I apologize. That's the first time I had to break. I had to leave the mic and find out what's going on. That was not a slight on your part, Mr. Slagle.
No, usually it is, but it was not this time.
It was not this time. It was me not double-checking to make sure in the house. Oh, God. All right. Kobe, what's happening at midnight at Landmark?
Well, Landmark, we are coming up. Oh, my goodness. Is this going to be? No, this isn't next week. This is 2 weeks away now.
Two weeks from today. So we'll be gearing up 2 weeks from tonight.
Yes. And this is, I'm going to be at this one. This one's going to be cool. May 31st and June 1st, Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy.
You know, I never saw that in theater.
Really?
I did not. Did you?
I did. Oh, yeah. I saw it in theater.
Was it a rollicking good time?
Honestly, I can't remember.
I bet it'll be now.
Yeah, probably.
Because it's a cult favorite.
Mm-hmm. June 7th and 8th, Willow. The following weekend, The Room. 21st and 22nd, Pulp Fiction. June 28th and 29th, Spice World closes out June. July 5 and 6, Miami Connection. 12 and 13, VHS 2. 19 and 20, Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan.
Gotta go to
and
that.
And July 26 and 27, The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Okay, so Adventures of Quint.
So mark your calendars.
Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. I know Lynn is somewhat interested, maybe Emma. I might talk them in the Willow. Pulp Fiction, we're definitely going.
I'm going to be there, Anchorman. I'm going to be there, The Room, Pulp Fiction.
I have to double check and see. I think The Room is the second same weekend as Chicago Blues Fest.
Oh, it's also, I thought you were going to say it's the same weekend as Kids in the Park, which it is.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's not going to stop anything.
Yeah.
It's not going to stop you, is it?
No. Well, yeah, that happened 2 years ago and still went. So.
I see. All right, let's see. Also, opening in theaters, actually, at the Toby tonight. I'm sorry, I think I'm treading on your territory.
Nope, not at all.
You got okay. Al Weiwei, Never Sorry, the 2012 document. Weiwei?
Ai Weiwei.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ai Weiwei.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that?
Oh, I don't know. It's an art thing.
Good God. And the Italian Film Festival, I think it was happening right now at the Central Library. Today's the 18th, right?
Today is the 17th.
That's tomorrow. Man, I am
off. You are all over the place.
I'm just a day off or a week off, that's all. And plot things happen.
Plot things happen between story characters.
All right, so tomorrow at the Central Library is the Italian Film Festival. So Ai Weiwei, Never Sorry is this weekend. It says the 16th through the 18th. So there's that. Vintage Movie Night, House of Mystery at the Garfield Park Arts Center tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. As we mentioned, Jay and Silent Bob, super groovy cartoon movie, Clues, Monday at 8 o'clock. See, the Italian Film Festival, Tormenti and Stato e Figaro, cool. And, so at the Vintage Movie Night, House of Mystery, yes, I'm reading from Nuvo. Film historian Eric Grayson dredges up 1934 mystery by Poverty Row Studio, Monogram, starring Ed Lowery, Verna Hilly, and an ancient mansion with a dark secret.
Mm.
Ooh. Ooh. Not a potboiler.
Not?
No. Hmm. No. Not what I'm talking. We've learned. Jacoby and I have picked up the habit of talking like Don Johnson and Django Unchained. So get ready for that. We would point at you at the same time.
Yes. This weekend.
Yes, Kobe.
If you don't have any plans, it's okay if you don't.
Especially now that the French film is not opening.
Yes. Head on down to Bloomington to take advantage of IU Cinema tonight, 7 o'clock, room 237.
For you fans of The Shining.
Yep, and tomorrow afternoon, it's a full day for Shining fans. 3 o'clock, The Shining, 7 o'clock, room 237 again.
Wow.
Yep.
That's a full day. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to, the weather forecast said thunderstorms all weekend?
I don't know. Probably.
Oh, I see. Well, that's good. You don't know the weather. I don't know the movies that are opening this weekend, so it's a good balance. What else is happening that weekend?
That is it for this weekend, and then next weekend, next Thursday, actually, the Source Family from 2012 documentary will be at 7 p.m. at IU Cinema, and then next Friday, The Reluctant Fundamentalist, which is also showing at Landmark.
Directed by Mita Nair. Cool. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think we should take a break so I can get at least some facts correct. And we'll talk about what's new on DVD and Blu-ray.
So
and
get your facts straight.
That's right. Thanks, Coach Gundy. And then and then you'll hear my epic chat with Jason Mewes. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I could do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference.
That's the old version.
That is the old one.
You don't have Tyler on that one.
Nope. I thought I hit the right one, but I didn't.
That's okay. We'll save Tyler. You know what? Tyler needs to save his strength.
Yes.
For those who don't know or care. The Kobe found foot. There was earlier this season where mm-hmm. the Indiana Pacers invaded Channel 13, and for some reason somebody thought Tyler Hansborough behind a desk reading from the teleprompter.
Sports anchoring.
Oh, he was a sports anchor.
Yes.
Of all the jobs mm-hmm. by the Indiana Pacers, mm-hmm. let's give Psycho T sports anchor.
Yep.
And we added that to the DVD yep. intro, which you just. Didn't hear.
Well, if you missed it, here it is again.
Yes. So
take it away, Matt.
Oh, gosh. And, of course, as you hear in the DVD intro, the voice of Jason Mewes, who is going to be in town with Kevin Smith Monday at Clues Memorial Hall for Jay and Silent Bob's super groovy cartoon movie. And I'll play my chat with Jason Mewes in just a little bit. But first... Small week, small thin week. There were slim pickings, the great character actor. As far as DVD and Blu-ray titles, new and old, really. The big title to come out is Cloud Atlas. And this brings up the Wachowski siblings and Tom Tweekson, who gave us Run Lola Run, as well as Perfume, film I hated. But this is the one. It has Tom Hanks, Halle Berry, Hugh Grant, Keith David, Hugo Weaving, Susan Sarandon, James Darcy, Ben Whishaw, in several intertwining stories. One is set in a slave boat in the Pacific in the early 1800s. We have another story where a young composer assists an old composer in 1930s England. The old composer is played by Jim Broadbent. You have the 1970s where Halle Berry is investigating some plot things at a science lab. Tom Hanks is one of the scientists. There's Korea in the future, I believe it's Korea, and then post-apocalyptic Hawaii with Halle Berry and Tom Hanks. So here's some audio. Make sense of this.
This is the Cloud Atlas Sextant.
I doubt there's more than a handful of copies in all of North America.
But I know it. I know it.
That's it. The music from my dream.
There are whole movements I wrote imagining us meeting again and again in different lives, in different ages.
I can't explain it, but I knew when I opened that door,
a powerful deja vu ran through my bones.
I heard it in a dream. I was in a nightmarish cafe, and the waitresses, they all had the same face.
No reason to hide. I know you are Sonmi 451.
Yesterday, my life was headed in one direction. Today, it is headed in another. You ever think the universe was against you? Fear. Belief. Love. Phenomena that determine the course of our lives. These forces begin long before we are born and continue after we perish.
Mr. Slager, you actually saw this one in theaters as
That's right.
As your financially saving Hollywood campaign. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts?
I liked how disjointed it was. Uh-huh. I mean, you jump around between stories.
Yes, you do.
Very quickly. And it.
Yes.
I think it's nearly a 3-hour movie.
If I remember right, check the running time on that.
Yeah, I mean it is a long film, but because it jumps around, because there are 5-6 different stories, and because it jumps around every 7 or 8 minutes or so,
mm-hmm.
you almost don't realize how long it is, and you get caught up following all these stories and trying to make the connections and what is it between all these people and what is the relationship between these characters in these different time periods.
Now, for those who don't know, it is not like The Fountain, the Darren Aronofsky film. It's not Tom Hanks. It's not Tom Hanks and Halle Berry in every film where they're playing the same similar looking character. Tom Hanks gets to put on funny wigs and funny accents which is, I'm sure, part of the reason why he did it. You got a running time on the IMDb page?
172 minutes.
That's
8 minutes shy of
3 hours. That's what I kind of remember, and that's part of the reason why nobody went to go see it. Now, I'll ask you, because I know my answer, the intertwining stories, did you find a connection to any, if not all of them?
No, not really. It's not. It's less about how these people are connected and more so about that, just the fact that they are.
But we're not sure exactly how. Mm-hmm. We're humans. Mm-hmm. That's about it.
Yep.
About halfway through this film, I stopped trying to figure it out. And not because Tom is not in every film, and you know which character is the Tom Hanks character. You know, is there a through line of two particular people? No. So, and really, once I stopped caring and trying to figure out this puzzle, I just enjoyed it for what it was.
Yeah. Don't really know that there's much to pull away from it, other than maybe the message that Halle Berry said at the end of the trailer. If you want to get into that sort of thing, but I mean, it's just something to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's well made. If it's, you know, I guess it's, I don't know art, but I know what I like.
Yep.
So you can try to break down a painting, and you might be dead wrong. And I might try to break down this film, and the Wachowski siblings will probably tell me I'm way off on this one. So I'm just going to leave it at that. So at least if you rent this at home, you can have more time. I did not feel tired. I did not feel that weary watching it. And I think you're right, Mr. Slagle, because it does cut fairly fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you said about 7-8 minutes per segment before going into a new story. So you don't feel. So I don't think you have enough time to get really completely bored. Are some segments better than others? I like the 70s one. Of course, you know I love films of the 70s. Yeah. And the 70s, of course.
Different time.
But you had Keith David in the 70s version, and that is cool. And he will win. He's the king of the 70s. No. So try not to get too thinky watching this. And that's right. Sit back. That's a new response. And rent it and enjoy it.
It's a nice way to spend 2 hours in a movie theater that you won't wish you got back.
Actually, in this case, 3 hours.
Almost 3 hours. Yeah. So the other new title I found on DVD and Blu-ray this week, and Kobe, you're not watching it, and frankly, neither am I, Texas Chainsaw 3D.
No.
Okay.
No.
Moving on.
No! No, 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 no! No! No, 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 no! No!
There you go.
I guess. Mm-hmm. Apparently some questions were left unanswered from the last Texas Chainsaw. Don't know what they were. Okay, moving on to Criterion. We have two westerns. I'm intrigued by these, and I picked them up. So one I have seen before and I've enjoyed. The other one...
Not so much.
The other one I haven't seen, so I don't know. But Criterion put out two westerns from the 50s. One is the original 310 to Yuma, with Van Heflin and Glenn Ford. And, of course, they remade it a few years back with Russell Crowe and Christian Bale and Ben Foster. And that's a good remake, and I enjoyed that one as well. But they're both based on the works, the writings of former film sociology guest Elmore Leonard.
Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
I love that man.
Oh my goodness, that might be my favorite one.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
If we were to ever do a ranking of
yes, of all of our league leading shows,
you'd have Dutch, you'd have Elmore Leonard, you'd have Robert as Gale.
Oh yeah, see that's
Robert
real
as Gale
close.
Is really
that's,
good.
You know, if it's a bracket, those two are going up in the final.
They're in the finals.
Yeah,
the two number ones.
Because
you know what, they are
Irvine as Gale.
They are not Cinderella IDs.
No,
those are powerhouses. They are Florida and Duke. I don't know what I'm talking about. Let me get back to 310 to Yuma. So Van Heflin is a farmer who helps out a sheriff by holding on to a prisoner, played by Glenn Ford. Glenn Ford did not play bad guys a whole lot. And not normally. He's Superman's dad. And even for the writing at that time, this was trying to introduce the concept of gray in a genre of black hats and white hats. And I think they do it very well. Geez, are you telling me to wrap it up? Or do we need to play the interview?
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. Fine, I'll do it. No, the other one is a Western called Jubal, which is a J-U-B-A-L. And it's basically a Western version of Othello. And you have apparently Ernest Borgnine as Othello, Glenn Ford as Cassio, and Rod Steiger as Iago. So check that out. All right. Because Kobe is watching the clock. That's what he does, among other things. Monday, May 20th, at Clues Memorial Hall is Jay and Silent Bob's super groovy cartoon movie. Here's my chat. Get ready, folks. Here's my chat with Jason Mewes. Joining me on Film Sociology, it's been almost 20 years since we got to know this man in one way, shape, or form, and now he's finally on this show. He's going to be coming back to Indianapolis with a new film, a new animated epic. Jason Mewes, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you.
So I know this is the second Kevin Smith extravaganza coming to town, and I know you're going to be a part of Jay and Silent Bob's super groovy cartoon movie. Can you give us a preview of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome because it's going to be like two shows or somewhat 3 hours of fun for, you know, one ticket price. But it's going to be a cartoon movie, so you can sit down. You know, go to watch a movie. It's been about 70 minutes long. We're not sure. We're still doing a little touch-ups here and there. But get to sit down, watch a movie, animated movie, and then afterwards we're going to do a Q&A / podcast, which is awesome. And then afterward, we also like the podcast, you know, as usual, at the end, you know, you get to bring 3-4 audience members out. We play a game, you know, and then who knows if, depending on time and or if we have to leave to, you know, get ready to set off to the next city. If not, you know, I usually stick around afterwards and sign stuff and hang out and all that. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. I'm excited about it for myself, and I'm excited to see how the fans and the people who want to come watch the movie, the audience reaction, getting to sit there with them, watch the movie, you know, to sit there with them and watch it, because I've watched it, of course, and to sit there with other people and see how their reaction is and stuff, you know, it's something I'm looking forward to.
One of the things about this event, and I know Kevin does a lot of these, and of course you're a part of them as well, is that, I mean, you guys are like a band. Whether you got a new film to promote or not, you usually can hit the road and people come out to see you and want to talk and do all that stuff.
Yeah, no, it's been pretty awesome. Now, I know Kevin was for years doing his Q&A, stand-up or what have you. You know, and I used to go with him and maybe step on stage for 15, 20 minutes. Then I started doing my own Q&As all over Canada and at different colleges and things. And then we started Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, which is a live podcast. And we started touring with that. We went to London and Canada and Australia. And that's been fantastic. And we still do that. We do it like once a month at the Laugh Factory. And we still go on the road with that. But, you know, it's just been slowing down a little bit because now we're trying to focus on touring with the cartoon. So it's been amazing, man. It really has, because again, you know, I love shooting movies and you know, the process of making movies and getting to see the finished project afterwards. And you know, I've directed a music video and a little PSA, and I've done commercials and stuff. And so I'm just saying, like, it's doing all that is awesome, but it's also fun just going and doing Q&As and podcasts and all that, and getting to meet the people who are watching the movies and watching your stuff, and sit and chat with them afterwards and hang out and all that stuff. So it's really been an amazing 20 years or so.
Well, it's funny. Yeah, you mentioned you've produced and you've directed and all that. So you realize the amount of work and responsibility goes with that. So it's nice to know that something like this can be considered a breather for you. I know you're a producer on the movie. How's that experience for you? Because I know you've produced a couple of other projects. How is this one for you from a producer standpoint?
This one has definitely been you know, different and an awesome experience, because this one is actually something I started, I've done from the beginning, and actually had to put in, more work than usual. Like, you know, some of the other things I produced, I've been there and put in some creative points and been there every day to make sure things have gone, smoothly or what have you. But it was pretty easy and everything. This is from the get-go. Kevin gave me the script, and I told him I wanted to produce something from a movie, and he gave me the script, Jay and Silent Bob's Groovy Cartoon Movie, and said, here, man, go see what you can do with it. And I brought it home to my wife, and we sat down and talked about it, and I knew first thing I had to do was see about getting an animator, how much it would be, how long it would take. Then I had to start thinking about who's going to do voiceovers for this character and who's going to be the voice for this character and scheduling sound, sound studios and having them go there and meet and sit there while they went through the lines and just the whole process from beginning to end, and then send over that voiceover to the animator and after, have him animate to it and send me it and say, oh, that's awesome, that's perfect, but can you change this up a little bit? And then Kevin got involved, and he really was stoked there. I got about 12 to 14 minutes of it done ourselves, and we went and showed it to Kevin, and he was shocked because he forgot all, not necessarily forgot about it, but just didn't know I was going through with it and I had been doing stuff. And he was like, this is awesome, man. I can't believe it. We should get so-and-so to do a voice and this person to do a voice. So that was cool to see his excitement and see him now wanting to really get involved and step into it. And he started redoing some of the script because, he had written it, maybe 5 years ago or so. So some of the jokes were old and all that stuff. So it was really awesome, and it's definitely a great experience, being part of it from the very get-go.
So I watched a trailer on the website, and it seems like this is Bluntman and Chronic returns or begins?
Bluntman is involved. Yeah, Bluntman and Chronic are a big part of the movie, and it's pretty awesome. It is definitely, there's the villains, there's, I don't know,
in the trailer, your character, Jay and Silent Bob, he wins a scratch-off, and you decide to become superheroes. And of course, where there's superhero. So that's why I thought it was a little bit of Bluntman and Chronic Begins, because it's the origin of creating everything that you need in a superhero movie.
Yes, definitely a part of that. I mean, the whole idea is, like, when you see it, it's awesome because they go through all this stuff, and then they pop up with this idea, and you'll see when, I don't want to give away a story that,
of course,
it's sort of it's goofy, but they go, the first part of the movie, they're going through a good 5 to 10 minutes, they're going through these things that they could have, something could have happened, but then, anyway, so I'm very excited about it, and there's villains, but yes, it is a Bluntman, and sort of the origin story, and then it goes on with the villains, and we've got great voices for that. We got Eliza Dushku and Ralph Garman, Neil Gaiman, John Lovitz, Ben Grebe, who does a podcast out here, and just great people have gotten involved with the project, and the editors and the MC Chris, who does a song on it, and he's fantastic. There's a lot of really awesome people have chipped in and made the budget stay at a good price, not too much money, and really just have been psyched about being part of. So.
Well, it seems like the film, it's also, do we have an official release date, or are we just going city to city like Red State?
Right now we're going city to city. We have no, we're not even sure what we want to necessarily do with it at this point after. Like right now we're focusing on touring it. We definitely want to do, we have the first leg of the tour is going to be 18 cities. We're already trying to set up to do like another 18 to 20, and then we're going to probably do it in like stints of 20, and then just see, from now until at least October, November, we want to keep touring with it and try to get it over to Canada and Australia and London. And then from there, we're not sure. Do we want to try to get it on Netflix? Do we want to pop it up on iTunes and all that? So, the good thing is the people who get to come see the show, they'll get to see it, in the theater, and then get the bonus of the Q&A and the podcast, and be the first ones to see it. But yes, I definitely want to get it out there some way. I'm not sure, DVD, Blu-ray, what have you. Because, you know, not everyone's going to get to go see the show live and while it's on tour. So
right. And it seems like the timing is good because we're coming off of the Avengers and Dark Knight Rises. There's been kind of a, obviously a flux of superhero movies. And, of course, in the trailer, you guys wrote, the worst thing that happened to the comic book movie since Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Assuming it's kind of a, at the same time, is this going to be a kind of a Valentine as well as a crotch punch to certain aspects of superhero movies?
Oh, definitely. I mean, like, yes, there's definitely, you'll get to see the crossover and sort of get definitely plenty of elements. And again, I don't want to give stuff away because
right.
that in itself is a big part of the beginning. And to me, is just awesome. Again, when Kevin gave it to me and I read it and reading through it, it's pretty funny. And especially the comic book people who know comics and stuff. They're going to get these sort of jokes and stuff, and it's going to, you know, it's obvious if you know comics. If you don't know comics, you might miss a couple things, but probably not at this point because you're right. Like, I feel like they're all the comic book movies and how much more aware people are of comics, you know, superheroes and stuff is a lot more now.
For research on this, and I love calling this research, I watched Clerks, Dogma, and Zack and Miri. Back to back to back, and it's funny. Like I said, it's almost next year will be 20 years. First off, obviously, Clerks is one of the most quoted films of all time. Everybody should send you guys a royalty check because we use it so much at work, and everybody else. And then with a film like Dogma, where you guys were an integral part of the plot, and then to see you and Zack and Miri, and by the way, we saw way too much of you. Thank you very much for that.
I know.
Yeah, Harvey Keitel, Ewan McGregor, Michael Fassbender, and you. Thanks. But it's been great to look on like your IMDb page and see characters not named Jay going back and forth between Kevin Smith projects and not Kevin Smith projects. I mean, did Kevin have to check with you this time to see if there's a schedule conflict for you?
No, I mean, not really. It's funny because there are a few things that I'm doing that right now, like it's been the last year has been a big, a lot of the stuff we have done together. And, you know, he has some stuff he's working. He did a Fox project and he's doing a bunch of different stuff without me. And a lot of stuff we're doing together. So yeah, it's funny when I do sit when he's like, hey, I'm going to come over, maybe let's record a podcast for Wednesday and announce this or do this. And then I'll be like, oh man, I'm shooting this thing. I'll be like, wait, what are you shooting? Who are you shooting with? it's pretty funny, but not necessarily check with him, but I definitely, you know, again, a lot of this, we do have a lot of stuff we're doing. He directed, and then him and I were in, and I don't know because they haven't announced it, so I don't know how much I want to talk about, but
okay.
There's that new Injustice game.
All right.
Yes, which is fantastic. We got to play a little piece of it, and it's so awesome. It's like, you know, there's Doomsday, and there's Solomon Grundy in it, and Greenlight, all the people you know and people you wouldn't even expect. But anyway, it's a fighting game, and we got to play a little bit. But anyway, it's going to be coming out soon, and we got to do – Kevin got to direct a commercial, and we were in it. And that was just fantastic, you know, to be part of the game and do a commercial for that. So I'm just saying he's, like, doing other stuff, and he's directing other things, and he's writing I think he's writing another book now. But a lot of things we do together. But it's been great that I've been able to step out and do – some other things, and right now it just seems it sort of has timed out perfect because, you know, we were touring with Get Old and we were doing this in the podcast here at Laugh Factory, but I've done like a movie here, 2 days on this movie, and I'm meeting with someone about doing another movie. Me and my buddy Christian Sesma and Paul Sloan are about to shoot this really awesome web series. We're about to shoot the first 20 minutes of it, and then if it goes well, we're going to keep doing them. But it's such a great concept and idea this guy Paul Sloan came up with. I'm really psyched about it. So we do that next week. So it's cool. I get to step out and do some other things and then still work with Kevin and focus on the tour.
Yeah, and you have an action figure, and you're on comics, and you're on games. You know, you're living the dream, sir.
Definitely. I mean, I, you know, it's like me and my wife sit around sometimes, and I told her, which at one point, you know, we were just sitting around. We didn't have a lot going on for a couple, like a month or so. And we were just chatting. And I was like, you know what? I was like, I get antsy if I'm not being productive and working. But I was like, I feel like it's okay to sit around a couple weeks because, you know, how blessed and grateful I am. I've got an action figure comic book. And who would have thunk that I'd ever have, you know, who doesn't want an action figure and to be in a comic book and all that? So a cartoon and movies, and I got to do commercials. So I'm definitely grateful. And, you know, I got lucky. I came, you know, I was roofing when Kevin wrote Clerks, the first movie. And even after we shot that movie and he went out to Sundance, I didn't know that you can go to film festivals and people actually buy movies. And if they do buy them, not only do they buy them, if they like your stuff, they offer you to do another movie or maybe two other movies. And so I didn't know anything about it. So, yeah, it was pretty – I lucked out, and I'm very grateful.
If you don't mind me asking, how long have you been married?
I've been married actually January 30th was 4 years, and we've been together almost July will be 7 years we've been together.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm married going on 14, and actually one of the first movies my wife and I went to when we were dating was Chasing Amy.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
Like 14 years, wowzers. How long? So you've been together like 16 or
about
so,
about 16,
huh?
With an 11-year-old daughter, and she's not ready for your work yet.
Yeah,
not yet. Close.
No, I know my niece lets my, like I have a half-sister and her kids are, you know, 23 all the way up to 35 or whatever, and they have kids. And my youngest niece, I call her my niece, but her kid is like 11 and the other one's 14, and she let them watch Jay and Bob. And I remember the 11-year-old was like, you know, singing the F song and stuff. And I was like, how do you know all the words? She's like, we love that movie. you know, that's my family. That's why in Zach and Miri, actually, it was like the only thing I was nervous about showing so much. It wasn't like, oh, gosh, people are going to see it and say it's tiny or something. I was just nervous because I'm like, I know my niece is going to let her kids watch the movies because she lets them watch all my movies because, you know, they're all happy for me and proud. And so I was like, oh, you can't let them see this part. Towards the end, when Seth Rogen's banging on the door and she's on the toilet, make sure they close their eyes.
So I'm curious, what movies have you watched recently, new or old?
I mean, I watch tons. I haven't watched a whole lot of movies. I'm so into TV. I watch way too many TV shows. Actually, I just was sitting before I called you watching The Following.
Okay.
That new Kevin Bacon show. But anyway, I'd say the last movie that sticks out is my wife wanted to watch it, and we watched Silver Lining Playbook.
Oh, good.
And before that, we watched Argo and then Dark Knight, you know, some of the screeners. So
sure.
I'm more into TV, man. I haven't watched, besides watching those screeners, because I was like, oh, I got to watch Argo. I want to see The Hobbit. I want to see Dark. We watched Dark Knight again, but even though I had seen that one a couple times. And then Silver Lining, we wanted to watch because our friend John Gordon is producer on it. And we, you know, we kept hearing all these things and about it, so we wanted to see if it lived up to the hype. But yeah, TV's, it's big in the TV. The Following, I'm watching The Cult. There's a show called The Cult. There's another show, Zero Hour, Suits and White Collar and Bones. And I've watched so many different shows. Arrow, I'm really into right now. I think Arrow's really awesome. And Vampire Diaries, I really did.
Man, your DVR thumb must be sore.
You know what? I watch it all on Netflix. And,
okay.
And except for the new ones, I watch on Hulu. I just, you know, Hulu, I watch the up-to-date ones. We actually got rid of our cable because we honestly never used it. We, like, used it every once in a while. Like, when Game of Thrones was on, we wanted to use it because we wanted to have that station to watch it on DVR and stuff. But now with, you know, Hulu is pretty awesome for those week-to-week shows.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't come on Hulu and they're not on Netflix, then I'll iTunes them and buy them. Yeah. I bought way too many iTunes shows. You know, now with the iCloud, it shows you what shows you bought, even if you've erased them and got rid of them. And it's just insane. I go through my list of stuff of TV shows, and there's like, you know, 300 different shows. And I mean, I definitely have spent a good, $20,000, I'd say, in the last 2 years on iTunes. At least 10,000, 20 might be high, but at least $10,000 on iTunes TV shows in the last 2 years, year and a half.
Well, this is why people should buy tickets to go see you at Butler when the movie comes to town.
Definitely. They definitely need to come see it. And again, besides getting to see the movie, I think the bonus is, because I know it's hard people. I think it's hard for people to want to get out of the house and go drive down to theater and stuff and see stuff. But it's not just getting to see the cartoon and Jay and Bob, which has been, it's been years and years since you've seen Jay and Bob in a live action or cartoon. But you get the Q&A and you get a podcast, and that's usually we do a Q&A or we do a podcast. And so this is going to be a little unusual. It's going to be a Q&A / podcast. And not to mention, we'll be playing games. We'll play Let Us F, where we bring three audience members up, and, you give them some name like the Indianapolis F Flapper. And then you got to have air set to that position. You got to come up with a position and be like, okay, how are we going to get across the Indianapolis ass slap? So anyway, it's fun. We do that on our Get Old podcast when we tour and we go on the show and people seem to dig it, and it's fun. And so, yeah, man, I think people enjoy it. Movie, little intermission for some, get some drinks and whatever else. Then you're going to get a Q&A / podcast, and it's going to be a blast.
Besides age, what do you think has changed the most between the characters Jay and Silent Bob?
When Kevin rewrites the movies each time, I mean, he definitely, they're the same guys, but they definitely adapt to sort of what's really going on in our life. You know, as you could see, if you watch Clerks 2, Jay's talks about being sober and going, getting pulled over with an airbag, like that really happened. The characters still are always hanging out together. Jay's still always, they're always buddies, hanging out, never leaving each other's side. We're always outside selling weed. That's how we make our living out there. Sort of, if you follow the movies, you'll see. But I'd say as with age, with the actual characters, I think they're just sort of, they're still just being themselves and hanging out and enjoying hanging out with each other and harassing people. Because, if you see later on in the movie, they have money from the movie rights.
Right.
From Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back. So Clerks 2, they go and they buy the Quick Stop and all that business. And, so they have money, but they're still hanging out because that's what they like to do. So I just think they're getting a little wiser and smarter and trying to come up with stuff. And I think, I'd love it if Kevin decides to write another movie to sort of wrap it up. I mean, again, we have the animated, but that's its own story. If we can do another live movie, there's been talks, Clerks 3, hopefully things will work out and maybe that'll happen. But I think there should be a wrap-up saying, like, hey, man, we're not going to be hanging out anymore. Or we will hang out, but we've decided to do this and this and this. We're going to, buy our own place, and this is where we're going to stay and sleep. And maybe we're going to have a little Jay and Silent Bob kids or something. I don't know. Maybe we'll adopt a bunch of kids.
It's great. Know. Daddy daycare. That's great.
Exactly.
No. It sounds like there's just enough gray area to be in between art imitating life, as far as stuff that's happened in your life, but it's been movie-sized by some writing. And I assume you don't do the tuck dance in public.
Not anymore. That is definitely, that's something that I used to do all the time when I was, 15, 16 years old. I used to do that a bunch, And again, a lot of this stuff is stuff that you're right, it's like crossover from real life to that. Like, no, I don't really hang out. I did at one point hang out in front of Welsh Farms with a bunch of my friends. We never sold marijuana, but we used to smoke a lot of marijuana. I don't smoke anymore, but Kevin does. Just like the characters. We are best friends. We do hang out all the time. He does talk a lot, though. Not as, he's not quiet like in the movies. And, just a lot of those stories, that you see. Like, I used to yell to women that would walk by, yo, what up, baby? Yo, what up? And I used to pull my junk out and just all different stuff. So there is a good crossover there.
Some things are timeless, my friend.
Yeah, so, you know, it'd be nice to sort of end up, too. Like in real life, maybe we got to put a little, you know, we got to do at least one more movie to sort of show where Jay and Bob are going to end up here.
There you go. Jay and Silent Bob's super groovy movie, Monday, May 20th at Clues Memorial Hall. Check that out. Oh, Saturday night, MeTV, 10 o'clock on Svengoolie, the original Claude Rains, The Invisible Man. Here you go. Words to live by.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Thanks to Jason. Thanks to Kobe. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI HD2 The Point, Indianapolis.